Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome again to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight on this last hour of Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers that are out there tonight. And if you had a chance to spend some time with your father today, I hope you did it and had an opportunity to do something there and enjoy the day. And, of course, like many of us, our fathers are not with us anymore. And I just you think about it, and it gives you a kind of a melancholy feel sometimes when you remember your fathers. But happy Father's Day. And we're going to get into a number of things here tonight as well, hopefully. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can certainly find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And just a reminder that I am the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland in northeastern Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're ever in the area. You can find out more about us. Just go to livewithpastoral.com, and you can link to our webpage for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And, you can also find some things on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, with past programs, a number of articles. There's some pictures of our trip week before last to Washington, D.C., and hopefully it'll be something there to be a blessing, encouragement to you as you try to make sense out of the things that are happening in this world around us. Wanted to mention a couple of other things, too. If you do not get a chance where you're at to hear our 10 o'clock hour, you can find recordings of those at livewithpastoral.com. I was just checking to see where I'm at. I believe we're current all the way up through last Sunday and last Friday. Yes, we have a Friday program as well. We're on for a half an hour every Friday at 1:30 in northeastern Ohio. So you can find those programs on livewithpastoral.com. Right now, there's quite a few there, and there's an archive thing at the bottom. If you scroll down the list there, you can go to an archive where you can listen to years worth of the program. I don't know why you'd want to, but if you're bored, I guess you can listen to that. But they're there. And I had a tongue-in-cheek talking about that. But there's a lot of material there, and there's some other articles there and some excerpts from some past programs and all different things, all at Late Night Live with PastorAl.com. All right. As I said, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got open phone lines, nobody on the board right now. And if this is an opportunity for you, if you've got a question and you're wanting to get in, you can do that tonight. But in the meanwhile, I wanted to mention something here that in a sense affects our Ohio listeners a little bit more, but I know Florida's had some similar things that they've been working with, and some people in some other areas that listen to us online and different states going through some of these struggles with how to protect children from essentially the people who want to mutilate them and chemically alter them through puberty blocking drugs and sex change operations. And here in Ohio, we had a passage in the State House of the SAFE Act and Representative Gary Click, who also happens to be the pastor of Fremont Baptist Temple in Fremont, Ohio, and a friend of mine, had sponsored this program or this bill. It was House Bill 68 here in Ohio. You can go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. Click on the tab for legislation and just put in HB 68. You can see the information on it, but it passed, I believe it was just on the 14th, it passed out of the House committee where it was at. It was in the Public Health Policy Committee, and it passed with a 7-6 vote. I believe all of the Republicans voted for it. And just looking at this, it looks like all of the Democrats voted against it. And this is a bill that will help protect minors here in the state of Ohio. And the reason I mention this, and it is important for people in other states, is because Gary Click, Representative Click, has had some various witnesses in on giving testimony on this bill, and you can actually read that testimony if you go online, as I said, ohiohouse.gov, and then click on the legislation search thing, put in HB 68, and then when that comes up, you can click on the one for committee. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this. As you look down, you'll see the committee hearings. Now, I don't know if Florida and some of the other states how theirs work, but in Ohio, you can see the committee meeting and the testimony given by the people who spoke, and some people spoke in the committee hearing. Some people sent testimonies in, and these are available online. And one of the people that's on there who's become a national figure is Chloe Cole. And Chloe Cole, as a young girl, at 12 years old, she was convinced that she was transgender, that she was really a man trapped in a woman's body. And basically, they're saying God didn't know what he was doing. God made a mistake. And at the age of 18, she began the process of detransitioning. But here's the problem, and you can read her testimony online. Just as I said, go to ohiohouse.gov, click on the legislation button, search legislation, put in HB House Bill 68, and then go to the committee tab, and you can just scroll down, and you can read not only hers, but others who have been subjected to this mutilation. And this is what she says here, Chloe Cole. She said, "This gender ideology attacked me when I was only 12 years old. The attacks have destroyed my life and wreaked havoc on my entire body, and I am still feeling the damage today. I always will." And, you know, she's basically says she was robbed of her childhood. Now, Chloe Cole went on to become a national figure. She's been all over the country, and one of the first places that she spoke publicly was in the Ohio Public or Ohio House Public Health Policy Committee, and for Representative Gary Click's bill, the SAFE Act, House Bill 68. And this led to her speaking in other states. And if you're in a state, an area where they're considering legislation like this, and of course, Joe Biden a week ago Saturday at his Pride Fest festival at the White House there in Washington, D.C., they were talking about these types of bills being a threat to the transgender community there. And as he said in his words, and when you read the words, the testimony of these people who have had their lives and their bodies destroyed, and you read their testimony, it's powerful. And so if you're in a state that is currently trying to rein in the medical, well, I don't know what you would call him, Dr. Mengele out there and all that, that's trying to mutilate children and chemically castrate them. You need to read some of this testimony. Chloe Cole's parents were basically told a lie. They were told by the doctors and the counselors and everybody that if they did not let her transition, she would probably commit suicide. But the actual figures are that if somebody transitions, goes through this transition nonsense, that they're actually 19 times more likely to commit suicide than if they had been let alone. But yet the people who push transgender surgeries and therapies, they tell the parents, would you rather have, as in the case of Chloe Cole's case, would you rather have a live son or a dead daughter? Implying if you don't do something, your child is going to kill themselves. And when actually they're more likely to kill themselves as a result of going through this. In fact, they have found that 85, 90 to 90+% of young children who approach puberty and struggle with the what's called gender dysphoria, they found that if you let them go through puberty, the vast majority, like I said, 85 to 90+% of them as they go through puberty will actually, as they go through it, become comfortable with who and what they are. They can't do that when they have been subjected to these unproven, unknown treatments and surgeries. Again, let me read from Chloe Cole's testimony. She says this: I was fast-tracked. These are her words. I was fast-tracked by medical butchers starting at 13 when I was given cross-sex hormones, and they took my breasts away from me at 15 years old. I don't know the status of my fertility. I don't know if I can carry to term. I don't know how many years this has taken off my life. I have no idea because the medical community has failed me repeatedly at every turn. I was just a child. I didn't deserve any of this, but I have to live with constant back pain because of the puberty blockers. My voice will always be lower and weaker than it should be. My stature will always be more masculine than it would have been. My reproductive system is atrophied, all due to the testosterone abuse. My breasts will always be gone, and I have no idea how long the big wounds on my chest will be leaking random fluids. I wake up every morning, and after I take a shower, I have to tape up these wounds with bandages so that this fluid doesn't stain my clothing. No child deserves any of this. No adult deserves any of this. And when you read these words, imagine being in that committee when Chloe Cole was there giving this testimony at 18, only 18 years old, giving this testimony. She continues, up until now, all of you have been complicit in the destruction of thousands of children like I was. Autistic, sexually traumatized children. Many of you are still complicit in the abuse. Today is your chance to turn this around. And because she was addressing the Ohio House Public Health Policy Committee, she said, Ohio needs you. The world needs you. The grass is greener on the other side. The world will award you for your courage, but it will also punish you for your apathy. Thank you. That was her address. This young woman, 18 years old, suffered at the hands of what she called medical butchers. And there she was, suffering from these things, and still suffering to this day. And she's kind of on a crusade. She's going around different places in the world giving her testimony and speaking out at various states trying to help pass laws like Ohio House Bill 68, the SAFE Act, and to save our children from, as Chloe Cole pointed out, these medical butchers. You know, I had an opportunity to submit a testimony myself in regards to this, and I submitted it, and I've mentioned some of this on this in the past. It was back in April when I submitted it, and I pointed out my support for House Bill 68, the Enact Ohio Saving Adolescents from Experimentation, the SAFE Act. And I pointed out something in my testimony. I said, recently I had a two-hour conversation with a doctor who was fired from the hospital where he worked due to his refusal to engage in transgender procedures. He expressed his concern that we are endangering children through unproven, risky hormone therapies, puberty blockers, and irreversible surgeries. His words to me, "I am a doctor, not a butcher." And, you know, I pointed some of this out in there, and it's this is stuff that has to be said. And yet some of our elective officials think that you're the one promoting hate, that you're the one that's crazy, that you're the one that don't know what you're talking about when you point these things out. Now, here's Chloe Cole, who was subjected to this, who calls them medical butchers. Here's a doctor who was being pressured to perform these surgeries, and he said, "I am a doctor, not a butcher." I have to interject there. He must have been a Star Trek fan as well, if you're familiar with the line. But it's still the same. He saw no benefit in cutting off perfectly healthy body parts. You know, I pointed out in my testimony, as a biology major myself in college, I can understand the doctor's frustration with being forced to perform what are ultimately futile medical procedures that carry great risk of chronic infections, permanent disfigurement, and as yet unknown long-term adverse mental and physical side effects. And again, when you read Chloe Cole's testimony and others like her, or their testimony to the committee there, they're suffering all of these things. She still suffers chronic infections. She's got permanent disfigurement. It'll never be able to rectify, and still doesn't know exactly what all the side effects, mental and physical, are going to be. Our children are being experimented on. This is why Ohio and other states around the nation are passing laws such as Ohio House Bill 68, Enact Ohio Saving Adolescents from Experimentation, the SAFE Act. And all this is these efforts to change somebody's sex are futile. And as I pointed out in my testimony, they are ultimately futile because no amount of hormone treatment, puberty blockers, or surgical intervention can change the underlying genetic condition, because all human beings possess from the moment of conception either an XX, which would be female, or an XY, which would be male sex gene pair. XX is the female gene pair, XY is the male gene pair. No amount of hormonal treatment, puberty blockers, or surgical intervention can change that. And so it makes no sense to drastically alter and maim healthy bodies in order to remedy, which is essentially a mental, not a physical disorder, a mental disorder called gender dysphoria. And again, it's a futile attempt to do it. You cannot change that. No matter what you do, no matter how much treatment you take, you're always going to be XX or XY. You're always going to be female, XX, or XY, male. You can't change that. That's the way you are. That's your biological sex. That's not assigned to you at birth. That's assigned to you at conception. When half of your genetic material comes from your father and half comes from your mother, you get the X chromosome from your mother, but you only get the Y chromosome from your father. And there's no amount of changing that the therapy that can change that. If you received a Y chromosome from your father, you are male. If you did not receive a Y chromosome from your father, you are not male, you are female. Doesn't matter what you think you are. It doesn't matter what you think you should be. It doesn't matter what a doctor tells you or a counselor suggests to you. Doesn't matter what therapy you have. Doesn't matter what surgeries you have. You have either the XY male gene pair or you have the XX female gene pair. That's what you are. I continued in my testimony saying, as a pastor, I've been asked for guidance and advice in dealing with the frustration and confusion of parents and children affected by gender dysphoria. And my advice has been guided by the Bible statement in Genesis 1:27, where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." And this is what it says, "Male and female created he them." There it is. It's two genders. You know what I need is that sound effect that Bob France uses, ain't but two genders. but it's true, ain't but two genders. That's all there is. And we're created either male or female. This is what the Bible says. And you know what? This is what biology says. The Bible and biology are absolutely in sync on this. I can say this. I'm a pastor. I've studied the Bible. The Bible says there ain't but two genders, male and female. And guess what? As a biology major in college, I've studied biology. And biology says the same thing. Ain't but two genders, male and female. That's all there is. And you're not going to change it. You're either genetically female or you're genetically male. And so gender dysphoria is not a physical problem. And I pointed out in my testimony that it's a spiritual, mental, and or emotional problem. So if it's not a physical problem, why are we using physical means to correct that? We should be using some other means, shouldn't we? Wouldn't that make sense? Treatment should address the underlying spiritual, mental, and emotional problems that are causing the gender dysphoria. It's not the body that's doing it. It's the mind. It's the mind. And so as a consequence, when we're treating a mental or a spiritual or emotional problem by maiming a healthy body or interfering with the natural physiological development that a child goes through during puberty, who's the crazy person here? So I continued in my testimony talking about that, and that actually prompted me to write a larger article, which you can find at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you scroll down, you'll see an article that I wrote, and I published it on there on the 1st of May, an article, Mental Dysphoria. And I came up with that term, mental dysphoria, because they're talking about gender dysphoria. And the article, I basically started with my testimony to the Ohio House Public Health Policy Committee in favor of House Bill 68, the SAFE Act. And I pointed this out in my article. I said, so why is it that so many people insist on dramatic or drastically altering or maiming otherwise healthy bodies of those suffering from gender dysphoria first? Wouldn't it make more sense to begin with looking at the underlying spiritual, mental, and emotional issues causing gender dysphoria first instead? Consider, for instance, a related disorder known as xenomelia or body identity integrity disorder. Body Identity Integrity Disorder, or BIID, generally involves an overwhelming desire to amputate a healthy limb, or more rarely, it involves a desire to be paralyzed, blind, or deaf. These are people with healthy bodies, healthy eyes, healthy ears, healthy limbs, and for some reason, they become convinced that they shouldn't have them. They'll be convinced that their leg, for instance, does not belong to them, and they'll try to get a doctor who will actually remove their leg or whatever it is. They'll even do things such as put a brace or something on it so they can't use it, and they'll put themselves in a wheelchair. And these people will seek out doctors willing to amputate a healthy limb, and if unable to find a willing doctor, they will sometimes force the issue, I point out in my article, by damaging the unwanted limb severely enough that it must be amputated. And in extreme cases, they even try to remove the offending limb themselves. And we look at that, as I said in my article, now most people understand that an overwhelming desire to amputate a healthy limb is not normal. And it's not. And so consequently, people suffering from body identity integrity disorder who try to paralyze, bind, or immobilize healthy limbs and things to simulate their loss, even trying to amputate them, amputation is not looked at as the first choice, removing a body part or destroying a body part. Instead, they look for the underlying emotional, mental issues that are going on that are causing them to feel this way, and they try to treat them that way. So why is it that those pushing the sex transition agenda, why do they right away go to wanting to remove body parts or interfere with the development of them? That's why I call that gender dysphoria. The insistence on circumventing parental authority while preventing, banning, or even making illegal efforts to provide counseling to determine and address the root causes of gender dysphoria. I misspoke there a moment ago. I call that mental dysphoria. It's mental dysphoria. It makes no sense. It's a dysphoria of their own, a mental dysphoria. And it gets into the spiritual problem, the curse of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And this idea of sin and death and the result of that and the curse that came on the world. In Romans 8, verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." We have this. And in addition to pain and death, we have sorrow and all these other things that result in degradation and decay of God's once perfect creation, including physical and mental and emotional disorders and disabilities. And so gender dysphoria, as well as body integrity, identity disorder, and a lot of other psychological disorders are the natural result of the curse, just as physical disorders are. And so mental dysphoria also is a result of the curse. And this is a rejection of the knowledge and a rush to rash action without fully understanding the consequences or the dangers of those actions. And so we need to act to protect our children in this country. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and that he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. And we need to be careful with these things. We need to protect our children. We've got a break coming up here in just a few moments. And let me just encourage you, if your state is trying to push some equivalent of Ohio House Bill 68, the SAFE Act, to protect children from these medical butchers and those that would seek to experiment on them and destroy their bodies permanently through surgeries and drugs and things like that, well, we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our state officials. We need to pray for those like Chloe Cole who were able to stand up and give a testimony and share the dangers of what's happening under the guise of transitioning. We need to protect our children. Pray for our country. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me, more about the program, more about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And also you can read some articles and things, different things I've got that are on there. Listen to past programs. If you're in an area where you don't hear our 10 o'clock hour, those are available online at livewithpastoral.com. If you're in an area where you don't hear our Friday afternoon program, 1:30 till 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons, you can also find those at livewithpastoral.com and a number of other things there. In the last half hour, we were talking about SAFE Act here in Ohio that passed out of the House Committee. It's on its way to the Ohio House for a full assembly for a floor vote, and hopefully it will pass there. And there's a lot of material there that if you go online, ohiohouse.gov, click on the search for legislation tab, search for House Bill 68, and then go to the committees tab, and you can read the testimonies. It's about Chloe Cole's testimony and sharing some of the testimony that I had given. And there's much more that's available there. If you're in a state where they are working on some of these types of issues, you may benefit from going there and seeing some of the things that give you some thoughts, some things that you can use to fight to protect children in your state. And while I was talking about that, I was talking about how both biblically and biologically, the Bible and biology are absolute unison on this, that there's only two genders, male and female. You either have the XX chromosome complement, which is female, or you have the XY chromosome complement, which is male. No amount of transitioning, no amount of surgery, no amount of puberty blocking or anything is going to change that. And I was talking our board operator tonight, Johnny works another program, a sister station, Bob France, who some of our listeners here are familiar with. Actually, nationally, people are familiar with him. He's filled in on some of the Salem programs, Sebastian Gorka and different ones. I believe filled in for Hugh Hewitt and different ones. And so a lot of people have heard him nationwide. And he plays this clip periodically. There's a long version, a short version. I think we're going to do the long version. Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor in North Carolina, has a great take on this, and Bob France, our sister station, likes to play the ain't but two genders part of this, but we're going to listen to the long clip. Johnny was able to find this, and he's got it ready for us, so you'll enjoy this. He really hits the nail on the head.
Here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils right now. Trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't
that. I mean, this guy's a lieutenant governor, but he sounds like a pastor preaching in a church town. He was in a church when he was doing that. Really interesting guy. If you follow him, he was actually an Army veteran and a native of Greensboro, North Carolina. And he was ninth of 10 children. And, a guy that really understands it. And, he's just got a great way of putting it. That just sticks with you. And so thank you, Johnny, for finding that for us. Appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed that little clip. Mark Robinson, North Carolina's lieutenant governor. And, some of the good guys still make it into these higher positions. And that's why I haven't given up on our country. I read the Bible. I know what the Bible says, and I've talked about what the Bible says about perilous times coming and about the globalist threat and what the Bible has to say about all of that. And we've talked about, things dealing with the catching away of the believers called the rapture and the coming of the 7-year tribulation period and all of that. But before any of those things happen, we're here in the world and we're called to fight. We're called to work. We're called to make a difference. We don't know when the Lord is going to catch the believers out of the world, as he talks about. You can read about it. Paul writes about it extensively in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where he says this, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And look at that statement again there. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are to continue laboring and working up until that moment we are called to be with Him. Over in 1 Thessalonians, Paul again writes on this subject in 1 Thessalonians, and he makes this statement in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He makes this starting at verse number 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Let me pause there for just a minute. Reading the King James version of the Bible, got many reasons that I use the King James rather than other versions, not the least of which is that the King James preserves the word of God without error in the English language for us. Other versions miss a lot of things and have a lot of deletions. But because it's an older use of English, we see words sometimes were used in different fashions, but aren't used quite the same way today. And let me give you an example here. The word prevent shall not prevent them which are asleep basically means not go before them. It's similar to precede, meaning won't prevent them from being first, in that sense. It's not to go before them. And we understand English is somewhat of a dynamic language, but at the same time, when you look these words up, you'll find them. It's just like, you know, the word gay. Anybody remember the old Flintstones cartoon from the 1960s? And the theme song, "We'll Have a Gay Old Time." Well, if you say that today, it means a little bit different than what it did in the 60s. In the 60s, it meant that they would have a fun time, a grand time, you could say. They were looking forward to a night out on the town or whatever, and having fun. That's what it meant. And the Bible even talks about if somebody comes into you in gay attire. Well, gay attire meant not what you're probably thinking of right now. It meant dressed up, ready to go to a party or something like that. That's what it meant. And so then gay we saw transform from happy and fun and things like that to meaning something to deal with homosexuality. And guess what? It's changing even today. My daughter was saying something about our rooster that we have. And our rooster's named Ralph. And she said, "Ralph is so gay." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, he's so gay. Look what he's doing." And I'm looking out, and we have a rooster and we have hens. And, you know, I grew up on a farm. We had chickens and pigs and horses and goats and cattle and all that sort of stuff. And she said, "Ralph's being so gay." And I looked out at what she was talking about and I said, "No, Ralph is not being gay. Ralph's doing what a rooster is supposed to do. That's not gay." And she didn't mean, you know, acting like a homosexual. We only have one rooster, so that's not an option for him. We've got a bunch of hens and one rooster. She meant that his behavior, she didn't like his behavior. He was being obnoxious. That's what she was meaning. And so the word is changing yet again. So when we see these words in the scripture that are used one way, well, you know what you do? You get a dictionary and you look it up and you understand it. And so we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent me. We won't go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so what he's saying here is that when this event takes place, the dead in Christ will be raised first. And people get confused on this. They make it more difficult than what it is. And I've got a caller that I'm going to go to here in just a few minutes. But when we die, the Bible says, in regards to believers, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is, Paul said that. And what he's saying is the soul and the spirit separate from the body at the time of death. The body dies. The body is laid in the grave. The soul and the spirit of the believer go to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, if the soul and the spirit are with the Lord in heaven, and the body's on earth in the grave, if you understand that, it makes perfect sense. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, how does that happen? That's because the body has to be resurrected. That does not contradict when he said in the previous verse 14, where he said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Your soul and your spirit's not sleeping in the body in the earth. Your soul and spirit is present with the Lord. So your soul and spirit come with the Lord in the cloud. The body that's in the grave is resurrected, and the soul and spirit are put back into that body, that resurrected body. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that's where he said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we would be changed. And this mortal puts on immortality, this corruptible puts on incorruption. But in the meanwhile, as you go into chapter 5, the next part of this, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that that day should overtake as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." When he says, "Let us not sleep, but watch and be sober," means we're to be busy doing things. And he continues on talking about more of what we need to do. And even in 2 Thessalonians, when he talks about the rise of the Antichrist during which will take place during the tribulation period, he talks about that in verse 2. And then he talks about how it is being prevented right now. "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And "letteth" and "let" there are used in the definition of to hinder, to hold back, just like in legal language, without let or hindrance. You can check a dictionary and see these things. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And so the mystery of iniquity, which is working through a variety of things. The World Economic Forum, moving toward their global world order, the push toward all this pride nonsense, and all this is aspects of the mystery of iniquity, where the devil's working in the world, trying to get the world to reject God. And all this is working together, but it's being hindered by the Spirit of God working through believers in the world to be salt and light in the world. We have work to do until the trumpet sounds and we're taken out of the way. But in the meanwhile, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't be overcome. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 21, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Cheryl calling in tonight. And Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Al. This links really well with everything you've been talking about here. And, you know, as far as, I don't know, where we are in the world and things to do and all that kind of stuff, I think people, hope many people want to know the best, what the Bible says of their role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say since it's Father's Day, what would you say is would be the best biblical presentation to someone about the biblical father?
Well, kind of an interesting question when you think about it, because he is portrayed in the scripture as our heavenly father. And in the first hour, Nancy had called asking some, we were talking about this a little bit about our heavenly father. Mm-hmm. And, when we look at this and we compare it in the scripture, our earthly father really should be a picture of our heavenly father. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's a bad picture, and that's what makes things difficult. But we look at God as our heavenly father. That's because we're adopted into his family. And, I've got children, but they're not my biological children. And we raise them, and my wife functions as their mother. I function as their father, I guess. You know? So that makes us mom and dad. And in a sense, they're children from someplace else that now are in our family, and they're our children. And so in the same sense, God adopts us into his family when we put our faith in Christ. And even though we came from somewhere else, we're now his children spiritually. I know God created all of us, but we now belong to his spiritual family. And that's where the term father becomes important, because when you adopt a child, you take on responsibility for their education, their health care, their well-being, their everything. But when God adopts us into his family, he does the same thing and more, doesn't he?
He does. I was thinking of, someone or presenting to someone, or someone comes and asks you, it's like, okay, I want to be a good father to my family. Can you tell me what the Bible says about the kind of person I should be to be a good father to my children?
Well,
I mean, if you can get even more, I can think of things like, the instruction to your child, and a child might say, you're a terrible father. And he's like, no, I'm a very good father. And this is how I am. Promoting myself.
Yeah. Let me address this, because we're running out of time here.
What the Bible says about it.
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6, I think, might be one of the better lines, because, obviously we need to be Christ-like and allow God to lead us. But he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that one statement right there has a lot packed into it. Provoke not your children unto wrath, meaning we're not simply to try and upset them and make them mad all the time. It seems like sometimes that's what people want to do. And We're not to do that. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which reflects some of what you said there as well. And as we do that, we're pointing them to Christ. We're pointing them to the Word of God, and we're encouraging them. Paul repeated the same sentiment over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, where he said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." That tells us that we're to encourage our children. And I know we have in the Old Testament passages in Proverbs, spare the rod, spoil the child, and things like that. But we need to understand that discipline, corporal punishment, was not to be carried out because we're mad at them and we want to show them how displeased we are with them, but rather we would carry it out in the same way that the Bible talks about in Hebrews, Hebrews 12, I believe it is, about the chastening of God, where he talks about it being done not because God's mad at us, not because God wants to get even with us because we made him look bad or we disappointed him, but rather because God wants to correct our behavior so that we will be the best that we can be. And you see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And so it is something that's done. In fact, the previous verse he said God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If we can emulate that as fathers, mm-hmm. in the care for our children that God has entrusted to us, I think it would do wonders for the state of our nation and our world. But right. Thanks for bringing that up and closing us out on Father's Day today, Nancy. I appreciate, Nancy brought that up in the beginning. Cheryl, and you kind of like bookends today. Cheryl brought up some of this in the beginning, and you closed us out with this here at the end of the program. So I appreciate that, but we're out of time tonight. Thanks for calling, and God bless you. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Join us again next week. We'll be back, and check us out online. Thanks. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.